أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب
Translation of this verse of the Holy Quran is, those who follow this messenger, the unlettered prophet, whom they find described in the Torah and the Gospel, who will bid them to do good and forbid them from evil, who will make clean things lawful to them and make unclean things unlawful to them, and who will relieve them of their burden and the fetters that weigh them down. So those who shall believe in him and honor and support him and help him and follow the light that has been sent down with him shall prosper. Every people and country of the world has their custom and has their own custom and practices, and among them are all kinds of customs of marriage ceremonies. Whether they are Christians or Muslims or followers of other religions, all have their local or tribal customs to express their happiness during their festivals and marriage ceremonies. With the exception of Islam, followers of all religions have adopted the local customs and practices as part of their religion. Wherever they go, especially the Christians, have the local customs become a part of their religion. There are some who close their eyes to all kinds of customs. However, Islam, which is a complete and perfect religion, despite the fact that it allows certain things on the occasion of celebrations, as for example, once Hazrat Aisha prepared a bride for an Ansar groom, and she reports that the Holy Prophet, may peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said to her, "Why did you not arrange some sing-songs for the Ansars?" The Ansars do like it on their marriages. On another occasion, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you must make a proper announcement of marriage on the beat of drum. But here also, which is a kind of tambourine, but here also he has guided us and has not let us be totally free. He has set some limits to these songs and music, that you should do it in a decent manner and use light and good songs. On one occasion, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam composed some words to express happiness on the occasion of a marriage, and said, "You should sing like this: Atainakum, Atainakum, Fa'ayyana, Mukhayyakum. That we have come to you, you should welcome us." Those who think that they can do all silly and ridiculous things on the occasion of weddings, then there is no harm. These thinkings is like those who sing such lewd and indecent songs during weddings in our countries that you feel embarrassed to hear them. They use such ridiculous and absurd and obscene words that one wonders how they can listen to them. Thank God that to a great extent Ahmadi society is free of such absurd and useless activity. But the speed with which these things are finding their way into Indo-Pakistan society, that imitating others who have forgotten all decent values, have no respect for religion, they get drunk and sing and dance and make noises and create disturbance, causing, God help, such indecent commotion. It can influence Ahmadi society also. Rather, here and there I do receive some complaints. So you must remember that an Ahmadi has to protect himself from such absurdities and save himself. They sing such songs which the Hindus sing on their weddings, which show their worship of idols. They make different idols to which they give various names and beg help from them. And without thinking, our people start singing their songs and listen to them. Rather than seeking Allah's grace on such occasions, that Allah may bless this marriage in every way and make it successful, producing offspring to serve Islam and be true worshippers of God, they are unknowingly committing idolatry by singing these songs. So, let me admonish those families for whom I receive such complaints that they must protect themselves from such absurdities and nonsense. Then they hold songs and dance gatherings on these occasions. When the girls go to groom's house, they hold dance to such absurd and nonsensical music and songs. Their relations and guests also join in. In no way can such activity be permitted. In some houses which are much advanced in worldliness, I do receive such reports. And those who say that since such and such a person was a rich person, wealthy person, and therefore no action was taken, or it was related to such an office bearer, no action was taken against him, and they overlooked his such activities. If a poor man does such activity, he is punished. In any way, these are distrusts by the people. But sometimes if we overlook by mistake because we didn't know, such distrust does develop. Let me make it clear in this connection that such activity which harm the dignity of Jamaat and decent values of Islam, I will take action against them without exception. And we do take action, so they should not have such distrust. Some people, after bidding farewell to their guests, they make separate programs from their special friends. And then they continue with such absurdities, and they have songs and dance, even if they are girls dancing together or they are boys dancing together. But the type of songs and dances they make, we cannot tolerate them. Therefore, especially today, I tell the people of Pakistan and Indian societies where such customs are finding their way with great speed that they should reform themselves. And the Jamaat administration and the administration of the auxiliary organization they should keep watch over these marriages, and wherever they find such absurd and songs and dances of obscene films, or such songs which spread idolatry, they must report about them. You need not fear in any way as to who the person belongs to, which family he belongs to, or what position he holds, since it is a season of weddings in Pakistan, and as I said, here and there I do receive some complaints. Therefore, for a few months you need to watch carefully. So wherever and whenever such activities are being done, you should take notice of them. But because of the people or marriages of others, or in imitation of others, they start such activity. Whereas when we invite outsiders to our weddings, large majority of them do like the method of our functions, because they do recitation and sing songs or prayers and do pray, and that is the method. As a result of this, there is a possibility of and they pray for these couple to be beneficiary of Allah's graces, and they also pray for a pious and virtuous offsprings. Of course, as I said, that at the time of the marriage of the girl, with the prayerful songs to express happiness, you can recite other kind of poems which are decent. And according to the custom and practice, the local practice, as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, that the Ansar do like such songs. He did not say that you must have such songs and music, but he said the Ansar like it. And because in here there is no aspect of innovation or moving away from religion, therefore he said there is no harm in doing that activity. He did not say that every tribe or others must beat small tambourines, but it says that such local customs which do not create defects in religion, and it is a kind of relaxation, and there is no harm in doing them. But such activities which has a fear of spreading idolatry and creating deterioration in religion, that cannot be permitted in any case. The ceremony of the custom of wedding and marriage is also a religion. That is why the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you think of getting married, you should give preference to that match who has more faith. Therefore, to say that weddings are only an occasion of happiness, it is true that Islam has not stopped you and said, "Be renounce the world and incline to one side." But Islam does not say it either, that you are lost so much in the world that you totally ignore the religion. Sermon, if the marriage was only for sing and song and happiness expressed as they do, the Holy Prophet ﷺ would not have mentioned in the Sermon of Marriage and reminded us of being righteous, towards righteousness and taqwa. And all guidance and counsel of marriage is based on righteousness. So keeping within balance and moderation, Islam has allowed some lawful things. You must keep within that limits and must not misuse this permission. You must not cross the limits that it creates harm in religion. And deteriorates religion. Therefore, we must always remember that for a believer, for such a man who claims to be a Muslim, marriage must be to spread virtue, to act upon good, and to start a pious progeny. And the same thing must be remembered by the parents of the couple. They must also keep in mind that the marriage is for such aims, not just for the lustful inclinations or worldly purposes. The Holy Prophet ﷺ also married, and married for the same reason. And he set this example for us, that you should marry and marry for the sake of religion. And this is the admonition he gave it to us, and did not like those people who are engrossed in worship at all times and are engrossed in the service of religion. Neither they do their duty to themselves, nor do they do their duty to their household. Nor did he like such people who find matches for wealth, for beauty, for high families, or those who are at all times inclined to the world and to their children. They have no time for worship, nor any time for serving the faith. In short, Islam does not say that you should go in religion so much that you forget your other duties, nor go in the world and gross in the world and do not ignore religion. Once the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard of a companion that he said, "I will not marry, I will spend my time in worship and in fasting continuously." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What type of people these are? I do worship, I do fast, I do my duty to the fellow human beings, and I have married." So the person who crosses the limit of my practice is not one of me. Islam stops you from inclining to one side. The example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who he has put before us, is that you must not go to the extreme. At the end he said that the one who turns away from my example is not from me. And this has a warning to those who say that wedding is only for happiness and you can do whatever you like. It has no harm. There is no harm. So when the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "Whosoever turns away from my example, and those who go to extreme, that you must protect yourself from absurdities and set high example of righteousness. And therefore, you should also follow the practice of keeping yourself from lustful inclinations and from falling into absurdities. Where the marriages are taking place by following others or by being persistent or just for show, that such and such a person had also sung these songs and had done this and this practice, we will also do it. They are ruining their own good works. Every Ahmadi must protect himself from such activity. If such a person had done that, he will bear his account and you have to give your own account. If the other person had done that activity and we did not find out and he saved himself from the questioning of the administration and above all, if you have to do this virtue and good, it is to please God. He watches you. Therefore, to be a member of the follower of promised Messiah, you will have to protect yourself from everything which creates vice and innovation in religion. And there are many other evil which are done at the time of weddings and in imitation as of what other people do, and this way these vices continue to spread in the society, and this way there is a deterioration in the religion and in the administration. As I said before, let me repeat it, that watching others, you should, and citing example of others, you should not try to protect yourself. You should avoid these things yourself. And if you see someone else committing these things, you should inform and report about them. You can report about that, but you cannot find the excuse that you will also do it because such and such person did it, so that we can try to reform the society. The songs and dance and absurd songs I have mentioned already, that if you would do such things, we will take action. But there are such evil and vices which are vices, although they are vices, but they do not have any aspect of idolatry, and but these custom and practices continue to become burdensome. Those who do them, they find themselves in being caught in difficulties, and those who are near to them, they also put them in difficulties. This includes the bride's portions of dowry, the expense of wedding, the expense of walima, and other customs which they follow, which are totally absurd and are a burden. We should be pleased that we believe in such a religion which sets rules and frees you from the customs of society of tribes who had made the life unbearable. Rather than looking at other followers of other religions, we try to adopt these absurdities. In the translation of this verse which I had recited, it says, which you heard before, that you believe in such a prophet and a messenger who takes away, lightens your burden. The absurd custom and practices and in the inclinations of evil, they have put fetters around your necks. He is freeing you of them. Rather than you should follow the religion which you have believed in, and follow those practices, and you should make yourself free from those burdensome practices, you are being imprisoned in them once again. Allah says that you should be thankful that because of this religion you have been freed from this burden, and you can find prosperity and success, and you will be enabled to do virtue. So we should think that Allah, because of us leaving these absurdities, Allah is giving us glad tidings of success. And rather than imitating others, we are falling back into them. I had mentioned some other matters also, that which I had mentioned, we see them in Ahmadi society also. In some sections of society, these evils are taking the form of innovations. To them, in their view, the wedding cannot be completed without it. Maybe these things are found in other societies, but in Ahmadis of Indo-Pakistan, promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam was accepted, and the people had accepted where he was raised. It is their foremost responsibility that they should not let such a custom and practice find way in them, where the custom and practices are becoming burdensome. Which means which have no link with Islam, with religion, with the teachings of the Holy Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you will put emphasis on your custom and practices, then the other nations would do so, and they have the right to do the same. Some custom and practices do not create defects in religion, because different nations have different practices and customs. For example, I said at the time of the marriage of Ansar, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has given an example. But those customs which create defects in religion, no matter of which nation they belong to, they must be rejected. Because Ahmadi society is a pious society, and which have to the community, which have to create unity in the world, have to hoist the standard of Islam. This way it will be changed, and with these little things can create major innovations. Therefore we must take full care. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has set some examples before us. His beloved daughter was married, and we have heard this before, how in simple way she was married. He could have given all kind of things to them. People make dowry by taking money on loan. and there were companions who could have provided many things, whatever they wanted, but he married her in a very simple way. It is reported that Ummul Momineen Hazrat Aisha and Ummul Momineen Hazrat Umm Salma, that we were asked by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we should prepare Hazrat Fatima as a bride and take her to Hazrat Ali, his groom. They have painted a picture of what they did. They said, we plastered the walls of room and then prepared two pillows filled with the bark of a palm tree. Then we served the guest with date fruit and grapes and soft drink, and hung a stick on the one side of the room so that they can hang their clothes and water skins on it. We never saw a better arrangement of marriage than that of Hazrat Fatima. The picture they have painted was in this simple method set high standards and taught his daughter that the real thing is simplicity and simple living and to win Allah's pleasure, for which we should try. Later on, she asked for a servant because he said there were blisters in her hand, and he said there are other Muslims who have more need than you have. So the Holy Prophet ﷺ gave the teaching of simple living from his own home. I do not say that following this you should only give two cushions in marriage, but this is an example of simple living, and unnecessarily you should not put burden on yourself and put fetters of debts around your necks. By keeping within simplicity, within your means, whatever custom or you have, you should fulfill your responsibility. You should do your duty to the wedding and also to the guests, but keeping within your means. Let me mention here that with the Maryam marriage fund, which Ahmadiyya community has set up, and we help many poor families. They sometimes repeatedly make demands that we should be provided this and that, or given such amount of fund, because what you have given is not enough. Firstly, I tell them that one or two who trouble or are persistent, that you should do not bring you under the burden of the custom and practice of your society. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come to free you from such burdens. And he did free you from these things. And in our time, Hazrat promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam's by being a member of their community, as promised Messiah has mentioned in his sixth condition of bayah, pledge of joining the Jamaat, that he shall refrain from following un-Islamic customs and lustful inclinations. And you have to, that I shall try to refrain from following un-Islamic practices and lustful inclinations. And you should put emphasis on contentment and gratitude to God. This is a condition for every Ahmadi, whether he is wealthy or he is poor. But according to their means, every Ahmadi must keep in mind. In this connection, I have said about the wealthy people, and let me repeat it again, that let me appeal to them that they must contribute to Maryam marriage fund, especially those who have capacity, and those who are marrying their own children. They must keep this in view, and that you have to help marrying destitute people. Also, there is a problem of setting the dowry money, which the groom sets for the wife. And if, God forbid, a marriage breaks down, then they try to find excuses not to pay it, and we sometimes take action against them. Therefore, you should set this dowry money with full thought. It should be not just for show, but it should be the amount that you can pay. You should not set such a dowry money which is just for fame and then creates problems in the society. Hazrat Abu Huraira reports that a man visited the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "I have sent a proposal of marriage to a woman of Ansar." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Have you seen the girl? Because there is something in the eyes of the Ansar." He said, "Yes, I have seen her." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What dowry money have you settled?" He said, 4 okiya measure of silver." The Holy Prophet said in amazement, 4 okiya?" He said, "Where would you get it from? Would you mine it from that mountain? We don't possess this much to give it to you. One possibility is that we send you on a campaign so that you may share some spoils of war." Then the Holy Prophet let him accompany a squadron sent to Bani Abbas tribe. So you see that even about the dar money, he said, do not set beyond your means, because that wasn't within his means. He was told it was too much, and he will then create problems. Or he will demand from the administration. So he said, okay, go on a campaign, and whatever money you get there, you can pay the dowry money. And it should be set within your means. Dowry money is such a thing which creates many harms, and there are many problems faced by the judiciary of the Jamaat, which is the Qadha. Before marriage, the family of the girl forced the boy to commit more dar money. And if there is a breakup of marriage or there is a divorce after that, then the boys try to avoid paying it. And then it creates a problem for the administration and for me, because by not paying, we have to take action against them. In this connection, Hazrat Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has given clear instructions. Let me put one before you. Someone said, what should be its amount? The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said that dar money should be by agreement of the parties, and Sharia dar does not mean that they have set a limit. There is no limit set. What it means is that this is according to the present customs, but in our country the problem is they have a different intention, and they give something just for show and just to create a fear in the boy's mind that he should be in control. Neither is the intention of the girl to take it, nor is the intention of the boys to pay it. So Prophet Messiah says, my position is that if someone has had not the rightful intention that he was truly agreeing to pay it, then you should not insist on the set dar money, and they should be the settlement should be made in view of the capacity of the boy. and ill intention is not followed by the Sharia law or by the civil law. When the matters come before qaza, judiciary, that they should look at, and they should not put too much burden. They should put burden on the boys to their capacity, and to that way they should go to the depth and analyze the situation, and then put burden on the boy to their capacity. And the party should also take and use state words. Nor should the one who is to pay try to deprive them of their right, nor the one who has to take it demand more. Another problem also arises about paying the dar money. Once a question was asked to Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, a wife does not waver her dar. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, it is the right of the wife. It must be paid to her. In the first place, it should be paid at the time of marriage, otherwise it should be paid later on. It is the decency of the women in Punjab and India that they waver their dower money in favor of their husband at the time of death or earlier. It is only a custom. Once a companion said that my wife has wavered the dar money. Promised Messiah said, did you pay it to her? He said, no. He said, go back, give her the money, and then if she wavers it and returns to you, it's okay. So when he returned, he said, once I gave it to her, she is not ready to waver it and give it back to me. So Promised Messiah says, this is the right method, that first give it to pay to her and then ask her to waver it. And they say, we say this, that they must reflect over it. In this connection, another, let me mention another matter, that only a few days I had a question from Bangladesh, that my wife has died and I did not pay the dar money. What should I do now? Similar kind of question was asked Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, that my wife has died and I did not pay the dar money to her nor made her agree to waver it. What shall I do now? The Promised Messiah said, it is her estate and is a debt against you. You must pay it. It can be done this way, that it should be distributed together with other legacy according to the Sharia law, which includes a share for the husband, or else it should be given as alms on her behalf. Some people who think, especially we get such quarrels in Europe, that the law of the land settles this. And that's good enough, we should not pay the dar money. Now, some rights are of the children, and some rights belong to the wife. And they are to a limited time. Therefore, later on, to say that we should not be asked to pay dar, in my view, this is not lawful. As the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, in the first place, you should set the amount what you can pay, and the qaza should define how much it is. And Promised Messiah says, it is a debt towards your wife, you must pay it. So you must not find such excuses after you have not paid it. This will be paid as a debt, and it is not connected with the law of the land, what they have decided. On one occasion, Hazrat Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said that a man whose capacity is of 10 rupees, how can you set 100,000 pound dar money? So the administration of the Jamaat should be accepted according to their capacities. The non-Ahmadis have found strange customs. They have made the religion a jest and a joke, and they have done absurd customs. For example, in our in Indo-Pakistan, in the time of Promised Messiah, there was, and I have taken an example, that the set that it is 80 pound of mosquito fat, nor can you collect such fat, nor can you ever pay. So the Promised Messiah says that we should thank God that we have believed in Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, who has freed us from these unpracticing mullahs' pronouncement. This also includes the gratitude that the marrying couple should always use the state word and unambiguous words, and their relations also. One expense which is increased too much on weddings, and those who have less capacity do demand from us, and it is of the expense on food. The girl's family is using too much on this, and although there is now a law in Pakistan that you should not feed the wedding parties, but even then people do it, and they try to find excuses to do it differently. When we tell them that your expense should be according to your capacity, they said we only have made one dish. But if you have no capacity, you should not do it. Then you should act according to the law. And you can feed your relations simple food like you eat yourself. Then, in the same way that those who have means, they make too much expense. They prepare 8 to 10 kind of dishes. They cannot be eaten, so they are wasted. And there are many people who go from Europe, they are included in this, just to show that they are coming from Europe and they are well-to-do. They make too much expense. Then whatever food is left, you can't even use it and give it to the poor people. So it is the best thing is that if you have such means, that you can prepare such so many dishes. I said that they can give in contribution to be spent on the wedding of the poor people. Then they sometimes they spend money on decoration, and some people who are suffering the inferiority complex. Because the people who live in Rabwa, they don't do such excesses. It's only those who are going from abroad. But there are local people who do provide services on the wedding rather than asking them to create food. Make food, they get the food from Lahore. Of course, everyone has their own liking, they can follow their liking, but they should not do such things for some inferiority complex. An Ahmadi must not have inferiority complex just for pomp and show. These are the fetters which are around their necks. Also, that you should support the local businesses who provide services on weddings. They have all the facilities in Rabwa. Those people who have set up businesses and you should help and support them. It is only a small city, and those people have set up businesses so that Ahmadis should keep in view to help them. And those who run businesses in Rabwa, let me tell them that you should set high quality of the thing, high quality of your services, high standard of your services, so that nothing is lacking. And you should compete with the outsiders. You should also keep the prices down, because people can't have the excuse that they are charging too much. Hazrat Musleh Maud, when set up, laid the foundation of Rabwa, he had advised the shopkeepers that they should raise the quality of things and take the least profit, and that way the business will flourish. The businesses do not succeed otherwise, and Allah, may Allah enable everyone to act accordingly. May Allah so destine that we should come out of all kind of custom and practices and all kind of burdens and act on commands of Allah and act upon the practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and always according to the teaching of the arbiter and judge of this time, give preference to faith over the world, worldly matters. And this includes in all virtue, and whatever other evil, it reminds you to give up all evil and evil customs. We should pay attention to this. May Allah enable everyone to act accordingly. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله.
پرسوں انشاءاللہ تعالی میں سفر پر روانہ ہو رہا ہوں. دعا کریں اللہ تعالی ہر لحاظ سے یہ سفر بابرکت فرمائے اور اس کے لیے ایک نتائج پیدا فرمائے اور جلد سے جلد ہم ہر جگہ احمدیت اور حقیقی اسلام کا کی حکومت قائم ہوتا دیکھیں.
عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.